This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. I hope you're enjoying your spring. It is a beautiful, sunshiny time of the year here in the Valley of the Sun in Arizona. And I've talked before about the Road to Grace video series, and it is now available on the website. The video series is a 6-part course on freedom and healing from porn and sex addiction, and is for men, is for wives, and for youth. So I get into, in the 6-part series, what the freedom and healing and recovery process looks for the man and also for the wife. A lot of times when ministries or organizations put out some kind of video series like this, they totally leave the wife out, which is a big mistake. So there's one session that's devoted to the wife and the marriage and what she goes through and what her journey looks like. And then at the end, I talk about youth, our desperate need to talk to our youth about sexual sin. So what I'm going to do now is play the audio version of a video clip. And the woman who's you're going to hear, her name is Darren Edwards. And this series was recorded in England. And Darren is a singer and she's a British actress. And so this was professionally done. So this is the clip.
For the past 20 years, pornography and other forms of sexual sin have been exploding in the church, destroying many lives, marriages, and families. The United Kingdom is the second largest consumer of porn in the world, second only to the US, who is both the number one consumer and producer of porn. Surveys show that upwards of 70% of Christian men are viewing porn, putting marriages and families at risk. In the 6 courses of the Road to Grace series, Mike Janung will share his story, which included daily binges on pornography, promiscuity, sex with prostitutes, and adultery, and will show the devastating effects of porn and sexual sin on those who engage in it, the trauma that sexual sin inflicts on a wife, and provide practical steps to healing and freedom for men and women. We'll discuss the urgent need to address sexual issues with our youth and encourage the church to follow God's command to speak openly about sex and porn. Jesus offers great hope and healing to those who cry out to him, no matter how difficult or shame-filled their journey has been. Whether you're struggling with sexual sin or know someone who is, the Road to Grace will be a blessing to you.
So that was the video trailer for the Road to Grace video series. And again, that's a 6-part course for freedom from porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, other sexual issues, that provides the steps for and the structure for healing and freedom, and gets into healing for the wife. And also we talk about youth. And it's available now at blazinggrace.org. You can go to the homepage. You'll see a link right there. And the cost is $24.95. So it's not a big investment, but I guarantee you the content in there will make a big difference for those of you who are going through these things and those of you who want to help others. So even if you're not struggling with this now, I guarantee you, you know somebody who is and is struggling and in bondage to these things. Or I guarantee you know a married couple right now who's going through it, but they just haven't shared their story. A lot of people want to keep that quiet or hidden. So the video series is going to be great for individual use, for sharing in groups or in churches or whatever your organization is. So again, $24.95, go to blazinggrace.org. It's a six-part series, a six-part course. So I want to talk about AI a little bit. So there's an organization that they analyzed a million chat GPT logs. Chat GPT is the AI software, and they found that the average person uses AI for two purposes. In general, the two big ones. One is for creating content. It could be creating content for work or for school or whatever. And the second use they found that is exploding is AI companions, meaning AI girlfriends and AI boyfriends. And sexual role play. The top six AI companion apps has 52 million users combined. This is from Forbes magazine. 52 million users are turning to an AI companion, boyfriend, or girlfriend. 20 million Americans are engaged with flirtatious conversations with chatbots. 25% of young adults believe AI has the potential to replace real-life relationships. And the New York Times, they had an article of a 28-year-old woman who's married. And she freely came out and said she's in love with her AI boyfriend. One week she spent 56 hours, she said, with her AI boyfriend. And this is, and you got to remember, we're at the very top of this mountain and looking down over a very deep, dark valley. We're just getting started with this stuff. And they're just beginning to get the software going. And when I see that 25% of young adults believe AI can replace a real relationship, this is dangerous. And I bring this out because churches and youth pastors and youth groups and moms and dads, you got to be aware of this. You got to make people aware of it, and you got to warn them that one of the big problems with this is you don't know what spirit, what forces behind the software. And if you're doing something pornographic, what spirit do you think is behind it? It's a spirit of lust. It's the wrong spirit. It's demonic. It's the demonic realm when you're taking it that far. You're opening yourself up to a life of bondage with that stuff. And the frightening thing is, this is, like I said, this is just beginning. So moms and dads, you don't want to be naive, and you don't want to assume your teenager is not already gone there, and you want to ask them, hey, when's the last time you looked at porn? Not if, when. How are you doing with masturbation? Have you had anything to do with an AI boyfriend or girlfriend? And you want to ask them these questions every once in a while. Husbands and wives, you too. Every once in a while you want to say, hey, how are you doing with lust? This is not a youth-only thing. And this is not a single person only thing. Adultery websites, they have a lot of married people, you know, coming to those. A lot of Christian married people coming to those. I saw one article where a pastor was found on the big one. My mind is blanking right now. I forget what it's called, but it's not Tinder, but it was another one. and they found a pastor's profile, and I think he committed suicide after that. What do you think's going on? That spiritual warfare. The enemy is trying to destroy lives. And a part of our hole in the church is we don't warn people about this stuff. In fact, we don't barely warn anybody about anything. We want everybody to feel soothed and comforted. And yeah, we should comfort and encourage, but that's not all we do. We got to say, hey, man, this will destroy your life. And you don't want to end up waking up on the wrong side of eternity because you gave yourself to sin and then did not repent. And you allowed this stuff to squelch your relationship with the Lord. So this is here and now in full force. We need to talk about this from pulpits everywhere. The things that we bring up in these radio shows, this is real life. These are the things that people are struggling with. So there's a woman named Angie Henderson, PhD, with the University of Northern Colorado. And she wrote an article called The Boy to Buyer Pathway and How to Disrupt It. And so she is involved with men who get arrested for solicitation of prostitutes or sex workers. And often those women have been trafficked. And she says that for the past 6 years, she has analyzed the content of buyer boards where men review their sex purchases. She's attended and evaluated what's commonly referred to as John Schools, a class attended by men who are arrested for attempting to purchase sex. She interviews men after an arrest for attempting to purchase sex. She said she's never come across a female she's had to interview who was arrested for that. She's done over 100 interviews with victims and survivors of sex trafficking, as well as those who at the time of the interview identified as independent escorts, so she's familiar with the damage it causes them. And she writes, with our societal obsession with consumerism and instant gratification, young people are seeking ways to purchase goods and services to help them deal with their emotions, particularly those they do not feel safe expressing or discussing with their peers. Research has already established that early exposure to pornography is disturbing to children. The young brain is not able to process that stuff. It's not able to process pornography as sex or sexually stimulating content. It's very destructive to it, and it is like pouring water into a sponge. It absorbs it and soaks it, and the addictive force gets set in at a very early age. Moms and dads, kids get smartphones, this is me talking now, as early as age 3. It's foolish to think that your sweet little Jimmy, who's maybe 8 or 9 years old, is not going to have this issue when he goes to school, and Butch is going to be showing your kid what the wrong stuff is to look at online. She writes, we also know there's an increased risk for those exposed to porn at a young age to develop a porn addiction or a compulsion. Based on the data we have collected from sex buyers, the vast majority of men arrested for sex have struggled with porn addiction. We are also learning more about the pathway from boy to buyer as we gather data. So moms and dads, again, if your kid is 8 years old and you haven't had the sex talk, it is too late. Because as I just mentioned, kids are getting smartphones at a young age. The men who come to us for help, the average age we see that they are first exposed to porn is 8. So it's naive to think that your kids are not going to get hit with this stuff in an early age in this culture we live in. And then she writes, in the summer of 2021, I noticed an alarming trend during one sex buyer sting. The men showing up to buy sex were markedly younger than those we had been used to seeing in these situations for over 6 years. A resounding 90% of the buyers we interviewed shared that they subscribe to content on OnlyFans, and one specifically told us, OnlyFans wasn't doing it for me anymore, so I decided to do this in person by getting a prostitute. She writes, OnlyFans serves the same purpose as a porn addiction, but as buyers on review boards admit, it's better than its personalized, made-to-order explicit content. Buyers use it, OnlyFans, to window shop for individuals on the platform, taking the opportunity to search for content creators in their area to private message on the platform to meet up and solicit for in-person sex transactions. And she continues, all these trends are alarming. With the sharp increase in popularity of the OnlyFans platform, a whole new demographic of much younger men is entering the commercial sex market. In 5 years, demand for commercial sex could be at levels we've never seen in modern history. Listen to me. She's saying the guys in their young 20s are going out and soliciting prostitutes and engaging with sex workers, many who have been trafficked. And I can tell you from personal experience, when I was 20 years old and I was working at a company in California, my boss gave me a prostitute for my 20th birthday. So it's naive to think that this is not going to happen to somebody you know and you love, including your own kids. We hear over and over, she continues, one word, loneliness. Second to that, men admit they're afraid of being rejected, afraid of relationships, afraid of not being man enough. Where do you think this is coming from? This is coming from hours on the stupid smartphone. This is coming from moms and dads just letting their kids have a free-for-all on their smartphones. They're becoming socially retarded is what's going on. And they don't know how to connect with people. They're connecting with illusions. And loneliness is a big problem in the church today. So I've mentioned before, when I go and speak, I'll ask people to raise their hand if they meet with another believer once a week for the purpose of support, accountability, encouragement, and prayer. Usually only 15% put their hands up. In one church that I visited in February, only one hand went up. So this is not just a youth thing. This is the adults. So we have isolated adults raising isolated kids. So mom and dads, you're not modeling how to connect with others if you're sitting there in isolation and you're too busy. You need this as much as your kids do. You can't teach them to do something you're not going to be doing yourself. They're going to follow what you model, not what you preach. So if I were to tell my kids, you know what, you need to be plugged into a youth group or meeting with another fellow believer at least once a week, but I'm not doing it myself, what's the word that's come to mind, that's going to come to their mind? Hypocrite. Devoted to fellowship. A lot of churches will preach being devoted to fellowship. But you can't be devoted to fellowship when every Sunday morning you come in and everybody watches the show and then they go home. And you don't force them to take any time to connect. And as I mentioned before, all it takes is 15 to 20 minutes every Sunday, and you have everybody break up into small groups of two, three, or four, and invite them to share how they're really doing and pray for each other. You would radically change and transform the church overnight, because then nobody walks out of church unless they're prayed for. Nobody walks out of church and saying, unless they're saying, hey, I'm really hurting here. Would you pray for me? That would make such a huge difference. And if you read through the book of Acts, that's the way they lived, connected to each other. We're lying to ourselves if we think that we're a connected group. And yeah, I know A lot of churches have Bible studies, but you can hide in a Bible study. So if everybody isn't looking at each other with the expectation to say, hey, how you really doing and how can we support you? You can go years and not really know anyone. And then she continues, many willingly admit they have been experiencing erectile dysfunction and thought purchasing sex would provide a newer, more sensual experience that would correct that problem. They bring Viagra with them to their appointments when they purchase sex. Reading this just, tears you apart. Because what's happening, if they're getting ED and they're a 21, 22, 23-year-old, which doctors are seeing, then what has happened is they've been hitting the dopamine center in their brain so often, but now it's not sending strong enough signals down to their genitals, and now they're not able to function that way. So 21, 22, 23-year-olds are getting so messed up with pornography that they can't function. This is something that a 60 or a 70-year-old should have to deal with. So we got to warn people about porn. We have to do something more about the loneliness epidemic. And Acts 2:42, they were devoted to prayer, fellowship, and teaching. And on that note, with the time I have left, I want to share with you, I receive newsletters, emails from churches. And this is one that I received here. And this is what they promoted. They promoted their Bible study groups, parking lot work, kids' neon night, men's breakfast, a youth group hike, and a planning meeting for Easter services. And there were fundraising updates. So, do you know what's missing from that? Prayer. There's no advertising for a prayer meeting. There's no prayer meeting that I know of in this church. And that's what's missing big time from our churches. And Pastor Jim Cimbala, in his book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, writes, does anyone really think that America today is lacking preaching, books, Bible translations, and neat doctrinal statements? What we really lack is the passion to call upon the Lord in prayer until he opens the heavens and shows himself powerfully. Let me make a bold statement. Christianity is not predominantly a teaching religion. We have been almost overrun these days by the cult of the speaker. The person who can stand up and expound correct doctrine is viewed as essential, but without such a talent, the church would not know what to do. The American church has made the sermon the centerpiece of the meeting rather than prayer to the throne of grace, where God acts in people's lives. Where are the vibrant prayer meetings? In too many churches, we don't see manifestations of God's power in answer to fervent prayer. Instead, they hear arguments about theological issues that few people care about. On Christian radio and television, we are often merely talking to ourselves. And then he writes, am I the only one who gets embarrassed when religious leaders in America talk about the loss of prayer in public schools? We don't even have that much prayer in many churches. And he mentions how the early church prayed for boldness in Acts 4, and they were boldly confrontational. They were not afraid of anything. Peter's boldness in his short message in the book of Acts, the first message ever in sermon, didn't drive people away. Even though he said, you crucify Christ. He didn't say anything about the love of God. He said, you crucify Christ, and 3,000 came to Christ. And that is because they had spent 7 days in prayer meetings in the time leading up to that. That is what we are missing from the church today, along with what I just mentioned with fellowship and connection. We raise isolated believers, and those isolated believers are raising isolated kids who now are prone to doing things like going on OnlyFans or pornography or engaging with prostitutes. This is where this whole thing is going, or AI girlfriends or AI boyfriends. So my friends, we have to talk openly about these things, and we have to go back to being what Jesus called a house of prayer. And is your church a house of prayer? So thank you for joining us, and I'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.